Welcome to Ellie Chat. Your home for exclusive news and commentary on the internet's only podcast about candlepin bowling. Brought to you by the Lords of Candlepin, Frank DeLuca and Rich Lamoni. Email the show at alleychat.frankface.net. Now broadcasting from the heart of the Bay State, the host of Alley Chat, Frank Face.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to Alley Chat. This is the web's only candlepin bowling podcast. I'm your host, Frank Face, and in this episode, which is episode 14, we're going to be playing a sound clip of a friend of ours, Dennis Nuzzo. We were able to catch up with him at the FA Project fundraiser back in April, and he is running a TV show in collaboration with the proprietor of New Palace Lanes in Fitchburg, Massachusetts. The TV show is called King of the Palace. They're a little bit different than classic candlepins or New England candlepins. They're running a handicap tournament. So, and it's King of the Hill format. It was good to catch up with Dennis. We were talking about why we're doing what we're doing. So we're going to play this sound clip for you. And my co-host Kyle Bruce and I will be back to talk about it. So enjoy and we'll see you on the other side.
This is an Alley Chat exclusive.
Hey folks, welcome back to Alley Chat. My name is Frank Face. I am your host. We are here with a friend of ours, Dennis Nuzzo. He's part of the King of the Palace TV show with Dave Matala, and that takes place at New Palace Lanes in Fitchburg. Welcome, Dennis.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How's it going?
Awesome. You?
Okay. Okay. Not bad. We are at the FA Project fundraiser out of Candlewood Lanes. You having fun tonight, Dennis?
Oh, I'm having a blast. Great. Excellent. Time.
Very good. Very good. As many of you know, we talked about this in our previous shows. It's free to pros. All proceeds go to the FA Project. You can check them out at thefaproject.org. But Dennis, let's talk bowling. Let's talk TV. So you guys have a show just like we do out of New Palace Lanes in Fitchburg. You came on, what, last year?
No, this is actually our third season.
No, but you on...
I came on midway last year.
And yep. I must say, it's improved.
Well, thank you.
So, tell us a little bit what you guys got going on now. I understand you have a scratch tournament coming up.
Yes, the May 20th to 30th, I can't remember the date. The end of May, the last Saturday in May, we're going to try a scratch tournament for the first time. Normally, it's 80% handicap. That way, we can get people on TV who would never have the chance to normally be on TV. And it's a big, tremendous turnout usually. So what we're going to do, the fans asked for it. The fans have asked for it. So now we're going to try to do it. We're going to have a scratch tournament. But we have to have a pre-sign-up so we can make sure we have at least 20 bowlers. Because if you have any less than 20 bowlers, it's not worth doing it.
I don't think you have any trouble with that, really.
Probably not.
Because from what I understand, this is kind of by popular demand.
Yes.
A lot of the guys, the pros you could say, have been asking for this for a while.
Correct. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to try to have the scratch tournament. And what we do, whoever wins the tournament as scratch king will come back the next scratch tournament as king. And the person who's the 80% handicap king will come back for the next 80% handicap.
Okay, so you're keeping both tournaments separate.
Correct.
Good.
Correct.
That's a good call. And I understand, Dennis, we talked a little bit before this interview. You're looking to take the show on the road.
Correct. We're always thinking of ways to improve the show, new things we can do. We have the Spread Eagle Challenge after the championship match now. We introduced the world title belt.
Yes.
It's got a lot of positive feedback. A couple people didn't like it, but that's okay.
I think it's new. I think it's different. No one's ever done it.
No one's ever done it before.
More power to you guys. Yep. That's good.
We have the viewers challenge that we do. We have the question of the week. It's just little things that help promote the show. So what we've been trying to do and thinking about it is talking to different alley owners and see about them hosting King of the Palace next season. We're going to be starting our fourth season in September. And we're going to take it on the road. We've already talked to Academy Lanes, Lucky Strike Lanes, and Lynn. Both are interested in hosting it. So, that's going to be awesome. That way we can have more bowlers that don't want to go all the way to Fitchburg.
Yeah.
Have it come to their area and have more bowlers show up.
So would you say that's the primary reason you're doing this, is to lessen the travel time of regional bowlers?
Right. That way we can get, we usually have about 60, 70% of the same people who show up for every roll-up. So we want to get some new faces in there. New faces on TV, new faces in a tournament, some new bowls.
So with these tournaments that are traveling, would they be scratch or handicap?
That's still to be determined.
Okay.
Dave Barber at Lucky Strike said he would like to have the 80% handicap at his place because there was a lot of handicap bowlers.
Yeah, he's got a big league interest.
Yeah. So that will probably be 80% handicap, and maybe we might do a scratch tournament at Academy Lanes. We'll see how it turns out.
Well, we know there's a huge league that runs on Tuesdays, Triples League, I believe, has a lot of bowlers that we consider professional. So
yep.
Maybe that caters to them better. So
exactly.
I think you kind of have a good concept here.
Yeah, I mean, we're probably going to start the first show of the season at New Palace, and then starting in October, start taking it on the road.
I'm interested that Dave is okay with this. I think that's pretty cool of him.
Yeah.
Really, because my understanding is that the show is his. Is it his concept or Travis's concept?
I think it's a collaboration between him and Travis.
And I mean, I must say, Travis does a fantastic job.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Even that, at the Worlds, the camera work he was doing, running around the scoring table with like two different cameras and all that stuff.
He had three. Yeah, he had three going at the same time by himself.
Yeah, and does he do all your editing and all that stuff
yes.
too?
Yes.
Very good. So I mean, Did he kind of grow up watching bowling or anything like that? Or
I'm not 100% on that. I haven't really talked to him that much. I know he works at New Palace.
Oh, he does.
That's how him and Dave got the concept going.
Okay.
Taking it on the road was kind of like me and Dave's little baby. And it's great for the alleys. You know, it's free money for them. Free promotion for their alleys.
Yeah, of course.
Free advertising.
So with this, my understanding is that this is in collaboration with Fitchburg Access TV.
Correct.
Would they be traveling to the houses with you? I mean, or do you have to use local TV for that?
No, it'll be Travis. Travis will use their equipment, bring it to wherever we're taping that.
Like, oh, that's excellent.
Like at the Worlds, he took the Fitchburg Access TV stuff.
Very good. Yep. Very good. Well, I think that's a great idea, really.
Yeah.
I don't know that we've ever seen a traveling TV show. That could be a first, really.
Well, Comcast at first was traveling.
Okay.
It wasn't set at one specific alley. They used to go different alleys all the time, and they settled in Woburn at one point.
I suppose that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't really thought of it that way. But, you have something new going here. I think that's good.
We're trying to keep everything
said that a million times.
Trying to get it new, trying to keep it fresh, new ideas. And a lot of it comes from the actual fan base. They leave messages on, comments on YouTube Facebook.
YouTube and all that stuff, yeah.
And that's how we came up with the title belt. That's how we came up with the Spread Eagle Challenge and everything.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the title belt. I think a lot of people are interested in this. Whose idea was it? Was it yours, Dave's, or?
It was an idea, a fan. We talked about it on the show a long time about, we're going to have a crown. We're going to make a crown for the king.
Yeah, of course.
And someone suggested, why don't you have a title belt? Like, get an old X Division title belt from TNA. You know, something that doesn't cost a lot of money.
Yeah, sure.
And Dave got in touch with this company. I don't remember what state they're in. About, they make title belts and stuff like that. So we had to make it. Saw the design. He loved it. We got the title belt in the mail, and it would just look phenomenal. And people have loved it.
That's pretty good. Pretty awesome. I remember the big reveal. You had hyped it up on Facebook.
I did hype it up pretty good, I thought. not too much over the top. And some people were a little let down, like, oh, it's a title belt. But, it's never been done before. It's brand new. Gotta love it.
Exactly. I think they were just, it was different. That's all.
They were expecting something else.
Yeah. But, it's something to look forward to if you're bowling in that tournament. It's better than a trophy, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, they don't get to take the title belt home, obviously.
Okay,
but
well,
they can wear it, take as many pitches as they want. Dave keeps it at the alley. Because his reason to think for that is that if someone was to take it home and they can't come back for the next taping, then we have no title belt.
This
upcoming tournament, I don't want to say who the champion is, but he already told us at the end of that show he cannot make it to the next one.
So in that case, what do you do for the king? I mean,
we take five bowls instead of four.
I see. Okay. I guess that's your only solution, really.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, we'll definitely be crowning a new king at that point.
Indeed, yeah. And when is your the upcoming scratch one, is that your next roll off?
The next roll off is next Saturday.
Okay.
That will be 80% handicap, and then the end of May will be the last one of the season, and that's the scratch tournament. Hopefully. Hopefully have enough bowlers. If not, then we're going to make it 80% handicap.
I'd be hard pressed to believe that you wouldn't find enough bowlers for that.
Well, I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, I think you'll have no problem at all. I've already heard a ton of guys talking about going up to do it, so.
Right, and a lot of people did show interest, and that's why we're doing it, because a lot of people said, well, I got a 130 average. I can't go in there and compete with a guy who's got a 90 average.
Exactly.
Which I can understand.
Exactly, and one of those guys standing right behind us, Jonathan Boudreau.
Yeah. Well, he has actually come out and tried.
Yeah,
he did make the show once.
Yep. But, I like the idea, to be honest with you. I think it's good, and, I think we, you know, Rich and Kyle and I are involved in another TV show, Classic Candlepin.
Exactly, yep.
And I think what we're all doing for the game is good.
Anything to promote the game is unbelievable.
Sure, yeah.
You know, no one's out to badmouth anybody else. Like, oh, my show is better than your show.
No,
it's all different.
In fact, there's even been some talks maybe we could get all the hosts to maybe bowl against each other.
I'm down with
some
that.
Some kind of battle tournament or something.
I'm awesome.
Hopefully when I'm back in form, that'd be nice to do.
Yeah, I'm all for that. Definitely.
Cool. Well, also, Dennis, you have something else that we recently saw on Facebook. Some kind of award is it Fitchburg Access or Lemonster Access?
Fitchburg Access.
Okay, yep. And tell us about that.
Each year, Fitchburg Access has an award ceremony for various things for all the shows that are on Fitchburg Access TV. This year, Travis emailed me and texted Dave saying that we won, myself, Dave Madela, and Steve Bronchuk, the three hosts of King of the Palace.
So you collectively?
Collectively,
right.
We won On-Air Personalities of the Year.
So congratulations.
Big awards banquet. Thank you very much.
That's great. Have you already attended the awards banquet?
Not yet. It's May 11th.
Okay, cool.
Monday, May 11th, and it's going to be an awesome time, I heard. I watched last year's on Fitchburg Access TV. It looks like they're having tremendous fun doing it.
Great.
It's a big honor for the show. I mean, if we're winning an award for it, you know we're doing something right.
Of course. Yeah. So, how interested is Fitchburg Access in your show?
Very interested. If it wasn't for their interest, we wouldn't be allowed to do any of the show.
You know, because of equipment and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know. We're in 15 different cities and towns local Access TV. When I approached my hometown, the Saugus, about it, the guy couldn't be more ecstatic. He goes, I have been looking for a bowling show to put on for years.
Really?
And that shocked me.
Yeah, I'm surprised. That's great.
Yeah, and he said, yeah, just sign this piece of paper and it's all yours. That's all you have to do. If you want it on public access, just go to your local public access provider, tell them you want it. You sign a piece of paper, it doesn't cost you anything, and we can get it on there for you.
And so this sounds like it's kind of statewide, wherever you are.
Yeah, we're actually, last taping we had mentioned on the shows for people to let us know where they're from so we know how far we reach.
Oh, okay.
We reach all across the United States, Texas, California. We are in, I can't remember where Dave's cousin's from, but she watches it, you know, something like Switzerland or something like that.
Really?
We're in Canada. We're all over. And it shocked us all. We didn't know we had such a fan base that is out of New England. A lot of our fan base is in Michigan, New Jersey, Texas, like I mentioned. They're just all over it, and it's flabbergasting.
So are you finding that these are like kind of former Candlepin bowlers or just people who are curious in it?
They're not all transplants. One kid in particular, he recently found that he was just looking for bowling shows. He bowls 10-pin because they don't have Candlepin where he is.
They don't have Candlepin in most places.
Exactly. And he came across our show, and he's been a diehard fan since.
That's great.
It's unbelievable. And some are transplants, like they used to live in the Worcester area,
yeah,
or
of course,
stuff like that. But a lot of them, more often than not, are people that just came across it accidentally and are just hooked. They love the idea of all three of us getting together, you know, the camaraderie, the commentary. They love it all.
Well, you could say Steve's an entire source of entertainment there.
He's in a class all by himself.
I find some of his names for shots interesting.
Yes.
But he's
yes.
very passionate about what he does. So.
He is. Yeah. And he does research a lot of the stuff. I don't know where he's researching it because I've never heard of some of the stuff he comes up with.
Yeah.
But I'll take his word for it.
Okay. Perhaps but a bit questionable.
Very,
but
yeah, he's very passionate.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
what you need.
Exactly.
You need passion to keep this game alive.
Absolutely.
You can't have announcers that are like, and I'm not a golfer, but I'm not going to put down golf. But, you know, when you listen to people talk commentary on golf, it's just like very monotone, very low.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't really get into it.
It surprises me too because they're sitting in a booth somewhere, not even close to the golfer.
Exactly. They're acting like they're standing right next to the golfer,
right,
and they're
right.
going to interrupt the shot or something.
But, and bowling itself is not that type of sport where you can be quiet.
I mean, right.
You have to make some noise.
You have to make noise. You feed off of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and you guys do that very well, as we strive to do with Classic Candlepins.
Exactly.
New England Candlepins, they're doing a great job as well.
Yep.
So we can see across the board, there's really a need or a want for these types of shows.
Candlepin Next Generation, don't
yes,
forget them.
Yes, of course.
That's the future of the sport.
Yeah, indeed. And their new episodes are just coming out now.
Yep.
And they look just as good as ever.
Yeah, they're unbelievable. And I applaud all the shows, especially the new gen, because what they had to do to get that on TV, all the fundraising they had to do to get it on NESN.
NESN, yeah.
And if anybody has watched King of the Palace, I went on a little NESN rant a few months ago. Nothing bad, because I love NESN. I watch NESN. But how is NESN, which stands for New England Sports Network,
right,
not want a New England sport Candlepin Bowling.
It makes you question, you know, where the money is, where the money's going.
Exactly.
And I think that's what it comes down to, yep. unfortunately. But you know, for us, Candlepin Bowling is the base of our core.
Exactly.
It's never going to change, and you know, we're doing what we're doing collectively, like we said, for the benefit of the game
and the love of the game.
Exactly.
You don't get into the can, like Mark Ritchie said on your last podcast, you don't get into Candlepin Bowling for money. It's
oh,
not
yeah,
there.
Of course not. You know, and Kyle reaffirmed that. You know, a lot of people have this kind of dream of making money back in the old generation of Candlepin Bowling. Kyle said, you know, there never was a generation for it, and I agree. I mean,
there was more money back in the day than there is now, but not like 10-pin bowling.
Yeah, you can't make a living off it.
No.
It's still a sport of love and fun, really.
Exactly.
You know, and of course, we're all familiar with the challenge of the sport.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, I've been bowling since I was 4 years old. The only reason I'm still in New England is because of candlepin bowling. Otherwise, I'd be in Florida, out of this weather. That's
yeah,
for sure,
yeah,
you know?
I don't blame you. Well, you could always bring a house down there. And,
I
or
wish
open up a house.
I wish,
and maybe have a TV show down there.
Mark Ritchie's living my dream, owning a candlepin bowling alley.
Right. Yeah, he's doing a great job too.
He is.
Yeah,
and I applaud him. I met Mark quite a few years ago. I'm actually the one who brought him into the pro league, gave him a start, and we've been friends since. And he's just a tremendous guy. He's a diehard for this game, like all of us.
Just like we are, yeah.
He does so much for this sport. It is, you know, I love him for it. I really do.
Yep. Yeah, I can't say enough about him.
You can't. You really can't. Him and Melissa and Brian. Can't forget Brian Basilinski, the other owner.
Oh yeah.
They just do whatever they can for the sport. They hold tournaments all the time for cheap money, so everyone can get in. You know, like the New Year's one is like $25-$30.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I'm not putting on the Pro Series, but, you know, I can't afford myself $80 a month to go bowl every Pro Series event.
Yeah, sure.
You know, people are on budget, and that's what they take into consideration.
So you have to admire them for kind of picking up business that is lacking in other fields.
Exactly, yep.
So, you know, much love to them. To River
More power to them.
Yeah, exactly.
I love anybody who does what they can to make this sport come back and be where it should be.
Where it
I
should
applaud.
Be, exactly.
I applaud them.
All right, so Dennis, anything else you need to say?
Just tune into the King of the Palace. Come on down. Tune in to Candlepin, Next Gen Candlepin, the one in Fico's. I can't remember the name of that.
New England Candlepin.
New England Candlepin, and don't forget your show,
Classic Candlepin.
Classic Candlepin,
and of course Alley Chat.
And Alley Chat, you got to have Alley Chat.
The web's only Candlepin bowling.
There you go.
So Dennis, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Hope to talk to you soon.
Same here.
Cool. Thanks.
Alley Chat.
All right, folks, that was Dennis Nuzzo. That took place at the FA Project fundraiser at Candlewood Lanes in North Reading. Kyle Bruce and I, my wonderful co-hosts, we're going to kind of recap and talk about what Dennis had to say about the King of the Palace TV show that's taking place out in Fitchburg, Mass. And Dennis was very proud and happy to announce that they're now doing a scratch version on May 30th. What do you think about that, Kyle?
Well, first of all, it's the award-winning.
Yeah, oh, sorry, excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, King excuse of the me. Palace program.
Yes.
So congratulations to them and
indeed,
to
yes.
the entire bowling community because, as Dennis indicated, it is his second year on the program. But I think he bowled in season one, if memory serves.
He may have, yeah. That actually probably is how he became introduced to Dave and the crew out there. So.
Right, right. And I like how they've had their own philosophy. I mean, anyone who puts any kind of work into keeping this game going, I have a lot of respect for.
Of course.
I mean, I've never met Dennis, and I've never seen him bowl in person. Same can be said for Dave. But you have to respect what they're trying to do and their philosophy in trying to get people that normally wouldn't be on television to mm-hmm. To participate and to be bowling under the lights. We've gone in a different direction with classic candlepins. I don't think there's any, there's no right or wrong with it. It's just something that they've decided to do in their third season. They're, you know, getting ready for a fourth. I think it's great that they're deciding to take the show on the road because I know it's something that we want to do as well. Because in order to keep the game going, you have to get more exposure.
Of course.
You know, because there are so many houses that are out there. I mean, Riverwalk, New Palace, you know, with the New England Candlepin show, that's going to be moving with Fico's and such.
Right, with the closure of Fico's, which I understand is happening at the end of June.
Right. So, I mean, I know that, who knows if that's a date that's set
yeah.
in stone it,
yeah,
with their
seems,
situation.
It seems kind of up in the air, but...
Right.
Unfortunately, regardless.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Because you can never have enough legit houses in the game.
Right.
So it is too bad. I hate to see a house close. I think we all do. But anyway, getting back to Dennis, they have a great situation there with Fitchburg. It seems like they've have great opportunities to, with the sponsorships that they have, the equipment that they're able to use. Mm-hmm. And, they have they have a different look, a different sound than we do. And that's fine. I don't think every show should look the same.
Of course not.
Or sound the same. I mean, we all add something a little different to it. I mean, their title belt is one that, has, God bless you during that interview, because I'm not sure if I would have framed it the way that you did. I'm not sure if I know anyone who, well, at least not anybody in the bowling world that enjoys pro wrestling as much as I have in the course of my life. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that I would have done. But
sure.
It works for them.
It does. People are very excited about that.
Right. And, he mentioned that that's the kind of feedback that they're getting. And if you're getting feedback from people that are all over the country and all over Canada, which, we have some viewers that are up in Canada as well and all over. And that's how you keep the game going.
Of course.
And that's the philosophy that we have. And that's something that Dave and Dennis have as well. And I'm sure the folks with New England Candlepins, we're all trying to do that. Yep. I think we all want to get the game back to what we remember, because our best memories are waking up on Saturday mornings, and back when it used to be noontime, that was the thing you look forward to. And then they move it back on 5 to 11, and then you have, watching that at 11, and then noontime would be channel 50. And,
right. How many people have we heard say that, Kyle, over time?
I know it.
Oh, my favorite memory is waking up Saturday morning with my parents or grandparents, whoever, watching Candlepin Bowling on TV. Even people who don't bowl, even people that, random people at work, if I tell them that I'm involved in the bowling scene in one way or another, once they find out that it's Candlepin, they say, oh, I used to watch that on TV on Channel 5 at Saturday morning. It was like a family mainstay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's well documented the numbers that Channel 5 did in the 80s. I mean, you got to keep in mind Boston sports in the 80s. The Celtics win 3 NBA championships. They go to another 2 finals. The Red Sox go to the playoffs twice in the 80s, 86 and 88. We all know what happened in 86. They get swept by the A's in 88. The Bruins go to the Cup final really out of nowhere, but all throughout the 80s, they went to the playoffs every single time. They get swept by the Oilers in 88. But my point is that we know about the Pats in 85. Boston sports, we've been so lucky here because the teams have been so good.
Right.
So what does that say when you have programming that is at a premium mm-hmm. to feature these sports, and you have Channel 5, which destroyed them?
Right.
In
terms of ratings.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's really no comparison. So that's why, to me, when I was a kid, I'll take Mike Sargent over Larry Bird any day.
I agree.
And that's what I want to bring back to the game, is that feeling. It's singular to me. I mean, we've all seen our share of Super Bowls and World Series and, Stanley Cup finals, what have you. But to me, there's something singular about the goosebumps I would get when the Channel 5 song comes on and you see the graphic of the purple dude who throws the Paramount down, and you see that red X that's spinning.
Right, with the triangle that's setting the pins.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a graphic or sequence of graphics that I'll just never forget.
Right.
And the song even more so.
Right.
The song is just,
It's iconic. I mean, if you didn't know anything about bowling, you'd be like, oh, I guess I'm, eating the Grand Slam at Denny's or something. But to us, it's like, well, at least to me anyway, and, I can speak for you on this. It's like you start feeling the hair coming, mm-hmm. rising off your neck, and it's like, oh, it's that time,
Right.
So that's what I want to bring back, And I think those guys at New Palace, and I'm pretty confident that the guys with New England Candlepins are doing the same thing. I would say the same thing about Barber and Surrette and the Pro Series guys and Friday Night and the Worlds. It's has the game changed? Yes. For the better? No. But we need to rely on ourselves to get it back, to get that passion back, to get the fire back, you know, to get that feeling of the goosebumps. That's what I get from Dennis. I like how they're different. I like how we're different. We all have something unique to offer. You know, if I had the Ric Flair world title belt, you know, I'd probably, if I won a ladder on our show, maybe I'd wave it around.
You would definitely wear it, yeah.
And nothing else.
Right. Well,
I mean, that goes without saying.
That's for the members only section of our YouTube channel.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Make sure you subscribe to.
Please do.
Yes. To everything.
Classic Candlepins YouTube channel. There's, what do we have? 4 ladders up there now?
Yes. Well, we're in, as we air this, there'll be the 3rd match of the 4th ladder will be up. And next week we'll have the ladder championship on there.
And before you say anything else, Kyle, what can we say about that 3rd match of the 4th ladder?
Oh, it's, I'm just glad to be a part. I'm really honored because to me, you know, again, there's nothing better. That feeling I was just talking about, I got that feeling calling that match
calling
with you.
Calling the match, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
and being there.
I haven't seen the cut yet. I'd be surprised if there wasn't some dead air at when it concluded, just because you and I were
spent
feeling that. Yes, you know, it's, we had nothing left. It was such a match. Of course, we're not going to say anything about it or the result.
Right.
But that Channel 5 feeling, Saturday morning, 12 o'clock or 11 o'clock, it was there.
Yeah. I mean, anytime, that's the great thing about this game. And I've said it on the show, like, it's the best sport in the world because there is no defense. You have total control of your destiny. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter, you know. Yeah, you can say that certain places are juiced or whatever, and, you know, I couldn't hang on to the ball today or the ball wasn't where, whatever. But ultimately, it comes down to you and the adjustments that you make. And that match is an example of persevering and making adjustments and using your intellectual prowess to overcome big odds.
Huge odds.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. And that's why you watch, because you just don't know what will happen.
Exactly.
It's, you know, it's not like, you know, I hear the argument all the time about the NBA that you should only tune in until the 4th quarter. You can't do that with this game because you just don't know what will happen.
Right.
You know, sometimes there is no 4th quarter to come back to. I hope you check it out. I mean, you may not be the, a diehard fan. You may remember it like what Frank was saying about, you know, it was something that you did with your family on Saturday, something you remember. Maybe you went bowling with your parents or grandparents, you know, on the weekends or what have you, or you bowled in juniors and you got it, you got out of it. Maybe you moved back after being away. But we all have this, you know, if you've watched our show or watched any of the shows, you already have, maybe you already have an interest in it.
Sure. Oh, of course. Yeah.
You know,
you have to.
And to keep it going, watch Classic Candlepins. Watch the New Palace show.
Yeah. Watch King of the Palace. Watch, you know, watch New England Candlepins.
Right.
Watch Irby stuff for the hell of it. Just, right. You know.
And, you know, not only watch it, but you don't know how you're going to perform until you go to a roll-off.
Oh, yeah.
Because you just don't know. I mean, you can have a day where you're feeling, I mean, bowling is one of the few games where it's like the Michael Jordan flu game, which is, by the way, completely ridiculous because he was definitely juicing and no one will tell me any different. But in what game can you feel completely crappy and throw 440, 450 for 3.
Right.
It's happened, you know? Because there's an element that in your head where you don't overthink, you're loose, you're relaxed, your energy may not be there. So you're not throwing as hard as you may normally. You may have a little bit more roll on the ball.
And that inadvertently could be the adjustment that you needed to make.
Exactly.
To turn things on.
Right. You know? And who knows, if that was at a roll-off, maybe you're qualifying for the King of the Palace.
All it takes is one qualifying score.
Right.
One good day. And that could happen at any time.
Right. And not just on television, too. I mean, you look at the Pro Series events. I mean, some of these events, you just never know. You bowl well enough, you get in the knockout round, one string.
Yep.
I mean, if Boudreaux were here, he would tell you, you know.
That's true.
Sometimes, that elimination style format, it can be very frustrating, and it kind of puts you on an even keel sometimes with a bowler that may average higher than you. So you just never know. I guess getting back to what Dennis is saying.
Sure.
I'm just happy they have a show. I'm happy. I mean, they've worked hard for it. You have to. I mean, I know what kind of work that goes into producing a quality program.
Well, it's like a full-time job to you. I mean, not just the filming of it, but post is it's endless, really.
Right. I mean, we do things that are a little different on our show. We have the studio segments that you've been a part of.
Sure.
And, you know, incorporating that with, you know, some of the graphics that we use. And, you know, because we're still in our first season, there's new things that we are trying. And I think that's just what you do when you try to make a product better. You try to keep people interested. You try to be innovative and creative. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm still learning. And I know that I'm just glad that the viewers are hung with us. And I hope that they realize that this ladder is, it's the best.
I'd have to agree with you. I mean, it's just, in person, I'd never seen anything like this match coming up. We've seen it, we've seen Oslo throw the triple against Craig.
Right.
Again, not giving anything away, but I felt the same way.
Yeah. And
I still watch Oslo throw the triple against Craig, and the feeling does not
on repeat.
Change. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because how can you not? Right. I mean, when you're talking about the very best, I mean, that match has to be up there.
Oh,
And of course you feel bad for Craig, especially how it ended the live show in Al Johnson. But you know, we're the Hall of Fame this past year. I mean, mm-hmm. Jack Quinn, I talked about it with Surrett at the Pro Series playoffs. I mean, obviously it's a matter of opinion, but the biggest thing that I think we need on any of these shows or any of the events are the people mm-hmm. that are watching and getting into a match.
Right.
Going back to that goosebumps feeling. I get that on Friday nights. I was never a bowler, never a good bowler. I just never had it. I just knew it at a very young age that I was just going to blow ass and it was just not going to happen for me. But I've seen a lot of bowling in my life. I used to watch a couple of different Friday night teams in the early 90s. And having that kind of experience, seeing the guys get behind each other and rooting for them, mm-hmm. there's just something that we all need more of. You know, it's not just the support, but when you hear that energy from the crowd, right. Like I said, I was never a bowler. I was never going to be on anybody's sub roster, you know, but as someone who's watching the match, it's like, damn, I mean, this is important. You know, it might be late October, so it's real early in the season, but you're fighting for every point,
every pin,
right? Because you don't know when it's this time of year and, you know, the play or, you know, April or whatever.
Yep.
And like you said, every pin counts. You might need that if you want to, maybe you want to buy,
of course,
if you can avoid a round, why not? You know? And of course it's always nice when you have the money attached to it as well.
Yeah.
So, that's something we just need back. You know, we have, I don't know. I guess I'm just saying support the game of candlepin bowling any way you can.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
If you love the sport, if you're listening to this program, you're probably someone that is already really good at bowling. Have a lot better than...
That's true. Well, you know, at least have a strong interest in bowling already.
Of course.
Spread the word to your friends. Get them involved. Take them to the bowling lanes.
Right. This is not a game that's easy. And that's what... You know, when I host the program, I don't put anybody down because...
Of course not.
I can't do what these guys can do. You know, no way. Or women, for that matter.
Yeah.
It's just not in the cards. Do people miss shots? sure, they miss them all the time.
Everybody misses shot. I mean, that's inevitable, really.
Right. It's part of the game. But it's still, at its core, it's still the best. It's really all about you. It has nothing to do with... You can make it about who you're bowling against or where you're bowling or what have you, but ultimately... That's the best part about this game. It's you against you. Mm-hmm. And are you good enough to quiet whatever it is in your head that's keeping you from victory? Let's find out.
That's the challenge right there.
Yeah.
You know, I like to consider golf.
Yeah.
Very similarly to candlepin bowling, especially candlepin bowling.
That's why you see so many of the candlepin bowlers that golf.
They all golf.
Right.
I mean, Surrett, if it's a summertime, Surrett's golfing.
Right.
And he's the best, you know, one of the best of the best.
Right.
But, you know, you can make the same comparison with 10-pin, but here's the thing. Golf depends so much on weather conditions. It depends on the hole placement that day. It depends on little rocks on the green that might obstruct your ball, twigs, leaves, anything. And 10-pin, you know, you pretty much put the ball in one place. You know what you're going to get if it's not a strike, of course. Candlepin depends on – I'm talking spares here. I mean, strike's a strike.
Right.
But reading the wood, playing the wood is something that you really just have to have a kind of like a golfer's knack for it.
Yeah.
You have to – I don't know that you can perfect it. Because it's always a guessing game.
Right.
There's always a sleeper piece of wood or whatever, something obstructing or, you know, something that you're going to come up with totally unexpected. But like you were saying, it's you against you. And I think that's, you know, the best challenge of all, really. You're proving your capabilities to your own self. And that's what candlepin bowling brings out the best in everyone. If you can kind of contain that and... You know, like I said, you can't perfect it, but do the best you can. You know?
Right. And that I suppose if the game were easier, maybe more people would be bowling. But candlepin bowling is a game of work.
Right.
You work to get better. The only way you get better is you're open bowling. And, you know, eventually you get into, you know, some of the handicap leagues and then you get into some scratch competition. Yep. And then you go from there. That's like what you said about playing wood. How do you get to learn to play wood? You know, you study what your ball does and right. how it reacts, and you just watch people play wood.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's what it comes down to. That way you know if you should be high in this shot or be on the cap or try to go low, get the right angle, you know, kick it off the sidewall. And the thing is that, you know, everybody's ball is different, so you just don't know.
Exactly. I mean, you can watch hundreds of guys bowl and, you know, they'll play a shot a certain way that you weren't even thinking of. You didn't even know it existed.
And or it'll go.
It'll still go.
Yeah.
And you'll say, you'll scratch your head and say, wait a minute, who the hell thought of that?
Right.
I didn't know that would happen. But that is what makes it so unique and just great.
Yeah. A great example of that is Tim Lipke was bowling against Jack Quinn on 50, early 90s, like 92, 93. So they're both at their peak.
This was such a great match. I know what you're talking about.
Right. Here. Yeah. Cause it's the, I think it's the match with the 8-pin and, or the 5. But anyway, big 5 leave and he had a piece of wood that was on the deck and, I forget how it was angled, but the way he played it and he made it for a spare. And I remember, I mean, I've seen that match quite a few times and mm-hmm. be like, damn, I didn't even see that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
Well, of course, yeah.
You know why I'm, you know, I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
We're just talking about it.
We're just talking about it. We're just honored enough to know him. And I think that's just an illustration of how you can look at the same. We've had shots on the show.
Absolutely. Where,
I mean, Michael Ginder played a couple of shots where it was like the 6-7, for example.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Which he made once with wood and without wood.
Right.
He made it twice. I think, was it the same match or was it the next week? I don't remember.
It was the next week against Copper Pot.
Yeah, right.
And the way he picked it clean was like, okay, well, that's one way of doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got the talent to do it.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's what's so fascinating is the precision it takes to, you know, make a cut shot. Everybody knows that. But it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it.
Right, right. You know, because you've got, literally, you've got millimeters to make that shot.
Yeah.
Millimeters, really.
From 60 feet.
Exactly.
Or more.
Yeah, depending on where you stop. Yeah,
right, yeah. Yeah. So I'm glad that Dennis took time out of the fundraiser, the FA project, to talk to you. I wish those guys nothing but the best.
Of course.
So, I don't know. I'm waiting for my Ric Flair title belt. But outside of that, you know, they're doing... I mean, like I said before, I appreciate anybody that's putting work into keeping the game going.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
and all three of those guys, they have passion for it.
Right. And I truly hope that one day I'll be able to meet those guys and... if I can talk them into the fundraiser that I'm hoping to do in October, to get, you know, who's the best of, you know, the shows, you know, I mean, obviously I can't bowl, but by then you'll probably be, you know, 1:30 at, Georgetown by then. And, you know, it would just be nice cause, you know, we all bust balls because I think that's just how New England is. But
I think that's how, and more specifically, the community of Campin Bowling, we're all ball busters.
Oh, I mean, definitely.
It's just, and that's part of the fun,
right?
Especially the pro circuit, Friday Pro League, pro series. It's awesome.
Oh yeah.
You know, we're all good friends, but we bust each other's balls,
right?
And you know, that's just one more thing,
right? I mean, is it a love fest? No, of course not.
No.
But, you know, I don't see where it's, you know, it's not Ray Rice knocking out his wife in an elevator.
No, we wouldn't condone any of that type of thing.
No, yeah. Nor would we have any elevators.
That's true.
Any of the houses. I don't believe that there are any.
I don't think so.
Yes. But, you know, what my point is,
yes.
You know, it's, there's an atmosphere, nothing like it. That was almost a Jim Nance moment on my part there.
Yes.
An atmosphere unlike any other. The Masters. Maybe we should have the Candlepin Masters just so I can...
I've always been for something, you know, like Candlepin Cup or something like that.
Right.
I think it's something that would be really fun to do.
Yes. I thought there should be like a... I mean, I don't know. The Worlds, I suppose, is sort of like that. But if you have, you know... the best doubles match you can think of, you know, the two best Canadians, two best Americans,
sure,
for all the marbles, and, you know, have the, I don't know, do the Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup or whatever. And, you know, to the winner gets the spoils, but
that's our next project. I think.
I think so. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
The Candlepin Ryder Cup.
Yes.
I think that would be, you know,
right.
Or the President's Cup.
Maybe it should just be the Frank Face Cup.
Well, that's, you know, a great idea.
Yeah, you can stencil your likeness into the nickel cadmium.
Or like I do, you know, on everything else.
Shirts, I know it.
Shirts, cars.
Right.
Posters.
Coffee cups.
Yes.
Coasters.
Yes. In fact, the all of my groomsmen, Rich Lamoni being one of them and Brian Fournier, got Frank Face pint glasses for their, that was their gift.
Wow.
And it was etched into the glass.
Well, I'm sure you spared no expense giving them their those fine gifts.
Why would I? Nothing but the best.
I know it. Yes.
Clearly.
They deserve nothing better.
And they all got a pair of house bowling shoes to wear at the wedding.
Wow.
That was pretty cool.
I'm surprised you didn't give them all a set of 2.7s with the... Yeah, I have Perella do the Frank Face, you know...
Yeah, engraving.
Correct.
Yeah.
Probably would have charged you like $1,000 for that set of balls.
I got a quote and I didn't like it, so that's why I didn't do it.
Well,
but I was
for...
Yeah, I was one step ahead of you, Kyle.
Right, yeah. So, always thinking.
Always thinking, yes. Very good. Well, I guess in conclusion, Kyle, we can say that we've got some good things going on in terms of TV shows, media, podcasts, stuff like that. And I think I think the future is bright in terms of what's to come. There are many outlets that convey Candlepin Bowling now. I think people are kind of catching on to it and appreciating it because of the feedback that we've been getting.
Right.
So we have a lot to look forward to, provided we all continue to work at it.
That's really what it all is. I mean, it's really selfless to pursue an endeavor in which you get the only return that you get is out of the satisfaction of the people competing. And like, I don't know about the other shows, but I would think that they probably think the same way that I do, in that I don't need a pat on the back to know that, I'm doing a good job or whatever.
Sure, sure.
I want, we've had some great talent on our show. I mean, Chester Copperpot is no joke.
Right.
You know, we've had a lot of guys. You know,
we've had Boudreaux.
Yeah,
had
Dave Godwin.
Pereira.
A lot of talent. And you know what? I'm pretty sure that, as the ladders keep going into next year, that it's only going to get better. I'm saying it right now. We had the best women's candlepin bowler in the world, I think, in Tina Ward.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, current day, yes, of course.
Right.
She is 100% the best.
Right.
That there is. So we'd like to say thanks to Dennis Nuzzo for sitting down with us and interviewing, and for all he's doing with Dave Matala out at Fitchburg at King of the Palace. Thanks to Dave Chestico for all he's doing with the USCBA and FICO's in Franklin, Mass. With New England Candlepins. And, of course, thanks to you for listening to us. This is Alley Chat, the web's only candlepin bowling podcast. You can find us on Facebook on facebook.com/AlleyChat. And our Twitter handle is Alley Chat with 2 T's. For my co-host, Kyle Bruce, my name is Frank Face. Thanks for listening again.